Those times when you stay up late and you work hard. Those times when you don't feel like working, you're too tired, you don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway. That is actually the dream. That's the dream. It's not the destination, it's the journey.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. We love you, Colby.
Sounds from the Grammys last night at the Staples Center in L.A., the building where the Black Mamba made his legacy. Alicia Keys and Boyz II Men paid tribute to basketball legend Kobe Bryant, who died Sunday at the age of 41. He was one of nine killed during a helicopter crash in Calabasas, California, along with his teenage daughter Gianna. On the court, Bryant, an 18-time All-Star and five-time champion, was considered one of the greatest basketball players in NBA history. And the news of his death sent shockwaves around the world. Social media lit up with tributes and memories. His work for women's basketball, various charities, and being a hands-on father were highlighted by celebrities and world leaders. And more than anything, his millions of fans. Off the court, his legacy is a bit more complicated. Kobe was accused of rape early in his career in 2003, though the charges were later dropped. It's part of a very complex life that we're going to talk about. Here with me now are Jemele Hill, staff writer at The Atlantic, and Dave Zirin, sports editor for The Nation magazine and host of the Edge of Sports podcast. Jemele, how are you feeling right now?
Well, I mean, I think like a lot of people, still trying to process this. You know, I was trying to think over the course of my lifetime if there had been a death that was more shocking and that it hit me this hard. And I really couldn't, you know, think of one, certainly not from a sports perspective. Sports writers and people I know who are a little bit older than me, they talk about this is very comparable to Roberto Clemente, just in the fact that he was somebody who, you know, the way he died and to die so tragically and at that point in his life. But, you know, for me, this is this probably hits harder than more than any other death that I can remember. And maybe some of it has to do with the fact that I had a personal relationship with Kobe, or maybe it's just because he's somebody who I literally watched grow up before my eyes. But it certainly still has not sunk in, at least for me, that, you know, he's gone.
Dave, how is the sports community reacting, especially his former teammates?
Well, the sports community is reacting, as you might expect, because Kobe was an icon well beyond the world of sports. I mean, for them, Kobe was the generational player, the touchstone. You know, a generation earlier, it was Michael Jordan. For this generation, it's Kobe Bryant. And they saw him as somebody who not only was an all-time great player, fourth all-time leading scorer, 18-time All-Star, but also saw him as somebody who was going to blaze new trails after retirement. He was going to become not somebody who did basketball commentary or become a coach or even become a franchise owner like Michael Jordan. He was going to move beyond the world of basketball and become a trailblazer in a whole new walk of life. And so they're feeling very acutely that they were robbed of this second act of Kobe's life, which was going to be all the more remarkable. And it also has to be said that in recent years, you know, Kobe had sort of become almost like this godfather type figure to a lot of young players because they did look up to him and he had time back for them. And so the tributes have just been pouring in of heartbroken players. And if I have to say, like, I think the NBA really should have canceled their games yesterday, because when you saw the heartache on the players' face and the tears in their eyes, I mean, that just, you know, should have been a time for them to mourn, because mourning is what took place across the NBA.
Jemele, I want to paint a scene described on Facebook by my friend, photographer B.A. Van Size, from yesterday night. He recounted being at the arrivals area of JFK Airport, and he said, watching four young African-American security guards crying together because Kobe Bryant has died. Does his death especially mean something for Black fans?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's a significant loss for the Black community. Even though Kobe, obviously, the love that people have for him, it transcended a lot of races, obviously genders as well. It's an especially big blow because he was a player that the way that he played, and because so much of his game reminded people of Michael Jordan, and the style and the charisma and the dashing way, just stylistically how he played the game of basketball, connected with a lot of African-American fans. And so to know that this is the end, and even though he was in retirement and all that, I think for a lot of fans, a lot of Black fans in particular, you know, it just feels like a piece of the community's soul is gone because of what he meant.
May I say something to that as well?
Sure thing.
It's just, I mean, and Jamel wrote about this so beautifully in this achingly painful piece in The Atlantic, but the degree to which in recent years Kobe Bryant also picked up the mantle of using his star power and his cultural capital to defend someone like Colin Kaepernick, to lift up Trayvon Martin's family. I mean, he was acquiring a place in the community that made him more than an athlete.
And Jamel, you note that that wasn't how he always was, based on your early conversations with him after the death of Trayvon Martin in 2012.
Yeah, it's interesting in talking about his relationship with the African-American community, because I think there was a time where it wasn't a very good one. And there were some people who thought that he was maybe aloof and distant from the community, even though there was nothing he necessarily said or did. But there was just this feeling that he wasn't as connected as he should be. And when he made those comments about Trayvon Martin, and I think that really opened his eyes to a lot of things. There was a tremendous amount of backlash by Black fans for what he said. And, you know, for him to kind of rectify that, to not just apologize to Trayvon Martin's family, but then to later speak at one of his rallies. And then to go on when Michael Brown was killed, and he immediately reacted to that as a Black man, not just as an athlete. And for the money that he gave to the National African American History Museum in D.C., him and his wife and their foundation, he, as Dave said, he had definitely strengthened that bond with the community. And that is, I think, in part why it feels like such a deep, tragic, just a senseless loss.
In Esquire, Charles Pierce wrote, "Kobe Bryant died on Sunday with one of the young women in his life, and how you will come to measure his life has to be judged by how deeply you believe that he corrected his grievous fault through the life he lived afterwards." In that sense, Dave, did he address in some manner, subtly perhaps, the allegations of rape? Did he come to correct it in a way that you think redeemed him in some regard?
I'm really not one to judge on that question. I know that his relationship with his daughters was something real and beautiful, and something he wore on his sleeve so everybody could see it. And I know that he is somebody who tried to live his life as if it was in a redemptive arc from those horrific times from 2003-2005. And the one thing I hope is like that people recognize that people are going to grieve about this in different ways and from different communities. And I just hope we don't police each other's grief, because people are going to respond to this in very emotional and very different ways.
I want to play a clip of Kobe on Jimmy Kimmel in 2018 talking mm-hmm. about his daughter, Gianna, and how she reacted to people saying he needed a son to carry on his legacy.
The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, "Hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You got somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy." She's like, "Oh, I got this."
Dave, how much was his retirement devoted to his daughter's basketball career?
Well, it's interesting. He became a coach of his daughter's youth team. He traveled with them. He became an advocate for the WNBA. He became somebody who saw women's basketball not as women's basketball, but as basketball. And his daughter had these aspirations, Gigi, of playing at the University of Connecticut, which for listeners who don't know is like the platinum-plated program in all of college basketball. And so Kobe's commitment to women's basketball, it became ironclad, but it has to be said that it didn't happen because Kobe was pushing his daughter Gigi to play. It happened because Gigi got the bug and came to love basketball, and actually, as Kobe described it, dragged him back into the world of basketball when he was planning on leaving it following retirement.
You thought the NBA should have canceled yesterday's game. It erred by not doing that, in your opinion. Going forward, what should the NBA be doing?
I mean, I don't think there's anything they could do that's too big at this point. I think they should rename the Staples Center where Kobe played for 20 years, the Kobe Bryant Center. I think teams should consider retiring his number. The Dallas Mavericks have already said they would do so. so no one else would ever be number 24 for the Mavericks. And I think arenas are going to have to become places of collective mourning, because this was a figure who stood astride the basketball world for two decades, and you can't just erase that.
All right, a lot to think about there regarding Kobe Bryant's legacy. That was Jemele Hill from The Atlantic and Dave Zirin from The Nation magazine and host of the Edge of Sports podcast. We want to hear your thoughts on this also. 877-8-MY-TAKE is our number here on The Takeaway.
Dear basketball, from the moment I started rolling my dad's tube socks and shooting imaginary game-winning shots in the Great Western Forum, I knew one thing was real. I fell in love with you. A love so deep, I gave you my all. From my mind and body to my spirit and soul.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.